Thank you. originated my meager flock to the shores of the Baltic Sea. The teeth of time have stole the rhyme of how things should be. My cave, my house, my turning wheel, my little docking pump. The march of Colonel Forbin and his fleet hound called the Grump. The grime of countless work dogs has collected in my sink. I tie my nose with spandex hose before I get a drink. We lie on frozen warthogs with its poison in our minds, while the ferns that spot our children are encased in orange rind. And seasons are the reasons people and their clans have sewed the famous mockingbird with glue and rubber bands. They writhe and cry in agony as Rutherford the Brave chokes Teela and the unit monster managing to save the spotted striper's multi-beast and thereby cheat his grave. I'd like to get his autograph, but he looks too much like Dave. He looks too much like Dave. He looks too much like Dave. He looks too much. 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 Thank you.
once upon a time, there was a man called Colonel Forbin. And he was a retired army colonel living in 20th century suburbia. And one day he found himself shaving in his bathroom. And he was looking into the mirror and thinking about his life. "52 years old, and what had he done with his life? Basically nothing. And he sat and he looked in the mirror with his dog, McGruff, sitting next to him. And he thought about the door. Well, the door was a door that he had found recently when walking McGruff, and he was coming over this hill, and he saw it. And he didn't believe that it really existed at first. But he spent weeks walking past this same spot every day, and he'd see the door. And he'd wonder about it. So this one day, he was shaving in his bathroom, and he realized that he was sick of his life, and that the time had come to go through the door. So he took his dog, and he walked out on the street, and he headed up the hill, and he headed towards the door. Passing through the corridor, I came upon an aging knight who leaned against the wall in gnarly armor. He was on his way to see the king. Wilson, Wilson, Wilson. He led me through the streets of Prussia talking as he tried to crush a bug that scurried underneath his boot heel. He said there was a place where we should go. So he led me through the forest to the edge of a lagoon by which we wandered till we reached a bubbly spring. The night grew very quiet as we stood there. He lifted up his visor and he turned to me and he began to sing. He said, "I come from the land of darkness. Said I come from the land of doom. Said I come from the land of demons. From the land of the big baboon. But I'm never ever going back there. I couldn't if I tried. 'Cause I come from the land of lizards. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have..." That the lizards were a race of people practically extinct from doing things smart people don't do. He said he was once a lizard too. His name was Rutherford the Brave, and he was on a quest to save his people from the fate that lay before them. Their clumsy end was perilously near. The lizards would be saved, he said, if they could be enlightened by the writings of the helping friendly book. In all of Prussia, only one existed. And Wilson had declared that any person who possessed it was a crook. He said, "I come from the land of darkness. Said I come from the land of doom. Said I come from the land of Keymedge. From the land of the big baboon. But I never ever go in back there. And I couldn't if I tried. 'Cause I come from the land of lizards. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have..." sleeping, friendly book it seemed, possessed the ancient secrets of eternal joy and never-ending splendor. The trick was to surrender to the flow. We walked along beneath the moon. He led us through the bush till soon we saw before our eyes a raging river. He said we can swim it if we try. And saying this, the knight dove in, forgetting that his suit of arms would surely weigh him down, and so he sunk. And as his body disappeared before me, I bowed my head in silence and remembered all the thoughts that he had thunk. He said, I come from the land of Thrakis, said I come from the land of Doom, said I come from the land of Gamehenge, from the land of the big baboon. But I never am going back there, and I couldn't if I tried, cause I come from the land of lizards, and the lizards they have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so for those of you who are still following us, Colonel Forbin is standing there with this knight, Rutherford the Brave, who has just dived into the water. And across the lake, he sees this ugly monster, the unit monster, who comes up, dives into the lake, and saves Rutherford the Brave. So Colonel Forbin is standing on the side of the lake, kneeling, and up from the woods comes the most beautiful woman he's ever seen in his life, riding on an enormous two-toned multi-beast. So he comes riding up, she comes riding up, and he looks up at her, and he instantly falls in love.
The sky is burning in this lonely land, and I kneel by the river, and I feel the sand and the wind from beyond the mountains, the wind. She comes to me in this lonely land and looks down from the multi-beast on which she rides like the wind from beyond the mountains, the wind from beyond. Tila was born in a vulgar, crooked hut in the shadow of Wilson's castle. Venomous corn from a life of bitter toil in the shadow of Wilson's castle. Glorious steam fueled by her hatred, it grew. The point where it would burst at the seams, there was nothing she could do. Tila, Tila, Tila. The breezes whisper. The wind from beyond. I grew strong in a struggle to endure. In the shadow of Wilson's castle, time touched her wounds, and shelter proved the cure. In the shadow of Wilson's castle, each passing day seemed to be the brazen serpent locked inside. Liberate the spirit she concealed for so long. There was no place left to hide.
Okay, so here's Colonel Forbin falling in love with Tila, who's riding on the big two-tone multi-beast. She reaches down and she pulls him up onto the back of the multi-beast, and they go riding off into the forest, deeper and deeper into the forest. Anyway, they're going riding deeper and deeper into the forest, and as they ride, Tila tells Colonel Forbin about the revolution. They're trying to overthrow the evil King Wilson. And they ride along. She tells him that the revolution is being run by a guy named Aaron Wolf. And they're heading towards the base camp to meet this guy. The base camp of the revolution. They're going to meet Aaron Wolf. Aaron Wolf got on this whole revolution kick when his son Roger was executed in the public square by Wilson. And so they ride deeper and deeper until they finally reach the outskirts of the camp. And they see up in the distance. And they look and they see a man
man standing in the clearing, and it's Aaron Wolf. And he's a small man, but his power is overbearing as they ride closer and closer. And as they near him, he raises his fist in anger, and he screams, "Oh, I'm near Stonehenge!
Public square, Wilson is hanging somebody else, and he's standing up there on the scaffolding next to the AC/DC bag, an electronic robot hangman, plug-in hangman with a black bag over his head, and they're hanging Mr. Palmer, who is the accountant for Wilson, who has been funding the revolution by extorting money from Wilson and sending it to them, and there's Mr. Palmer standing up on the scaffolding, and Wilson sings this song.
Won't die.
it is. If I were near you, I wouldn't be far from you. I've got a feeling you know what you did. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. Money where your mouth is. Put them in the field and let them fight it out. I'm running so fast, my feet don't touch the ground. I'm a stranger here, I'm going down. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get this show on the road. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. I'm breathing hard, open. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. Juicy bag. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. AC/DC bag. Juicy bag. That's where I am. No future at all. Don't sweat it. That's where I am. Whoa, carry me down.
Is going haywire, and as a last-ditch attempt to save things, Colonel Forbin decides he's going to climb up the mountain and find Iculus, the great and knowledgeable Iculus, you know. We all know who he is. And he's going to find Iculus, and he's going to ask Iculus to help him by sending the Helping Friendly Book, which Wilson is keeping in the highest tower in his castle. He's going to send the Helping Friendly Book to save the revolutionaries. Here he goes now, climbing towards the mountain.
right up at the mountain and wiped away the beads of sweat that glistened on his brow. His tired feet were buried in the quagmire, and his bloodshot eyes saw all that lay between him and fulfillment of his vow. And he felt his fingers wrap around the knotted root and pull his body upwards to a sea green mossy boulder. And he dragged his weary shit ass up the mountain. And he climbed so slowly. He climbed so slowly ahead. He heard the crack of thunder, and the rocks began to crumble overhead and tumble down the mountain to the dismal swamp that lay beneath the jagged cliffs through which his path had led. And the earth began to quake beneath his feet, and the mighty mountain changed before his eyes. And he stood amidst a sea of dust and rocks and stones cascading down the mountain, and a thousand birds were headed for the sky. Oh, the sacred creed will be yours. And if you wait until tomorrow, the sacred creed will be yours to devour, yours to seize and to obey. Dust had cleared, the colonel lifted up his head and was driven to his knees by a blazing beam of light. And he saw the silhouette that stood before him, and he bowed in reverence, trembling in the shadow of the mighty legend form. Nicholas the prophet stood before his eyes, looking down on Colonel Forbin, where he shuddered in the puddles and the muck. And he quietly addressed him, and he spoke so slowly. That you lack, I call upon my faithful friend, the mockingbird, to fly and seize the helping book and bring it to your shack. And the tree of knowledge in your soul will grow, and the helping friendly book will plant the seed. But I warn you that all knowledge seen as impure becomes a deadly weapon in the hands of avarice and greed. Oh, the sacred greed will be yours. Wait until tomorrow, the sacred greed will be yours to devour, yours to seize and to obey.
and flew off to get the helping friend.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So at this point in time, with us, you got Colonel Forbin, Goes Up the Mountain. Iculus, you know the song about Iculus, Steve. Come on, come on. Not really. Now, this is the important part here, because Aaron Wolf, who is heading the revolution, now has the Helping Friendly book. And he gets a little bit greedy, and instead of doing the right thing, he stows the famous mockingbird with glue and rubber bands against the pole, picks up the book, and goes into town to find the meanest man in town to help him execute Wilson so that he can take over as the next evil king. And you know who he gets to do the job. Okay, so that's it. So So they kill Wilson. Wilson's dead. Yay, long live Wilson. Aaron Wolf, the new Wilson, takes over, and somewhere up on top of the mountain there, Iculus is dancing around as he usually does, looking down at all this stupidity going on in the valley below him, and singing in his metaphorical way.
Mountain, baby, where the people come to pray. I come from top the mountain, baby, where the people come to pray. There ain't no truth in action unless you leave it anyway. I was riding down the road one day. Someone hit a possum. Riding down the road one day, someone hit a possum. The road was his and his animals that rode, so they say. John Ron hit a possum. I was riding down the road one day, someone hit a possum. Oh,
possum.
The road was his end, his end was the road,
so they say.
Possum! Whoa, possum!